Ramsey TV.
And still, I hear it every once in a while, even from members of the body of Christ who have been called to this glorious calling, that you are not worthy. That you can't understand why God would call anyone who would not properly live the kind of life that God could put on a pedestal and say, now there is a person who deserves to be called into the body of Christ. Greetings, one and all. This is Martin Zender coming to you once again, informally, yet formally at the same time. Hard to do, very hard to do, but I managed to do it 5 days a week from the edge of the bottom of the Floridian Peninsula. I told you 2 days ago that I was talking to a woman in Evansville, Indiana, who couldn't understand. I'm not making fun of her. I'm saying that this is an epidemic, and that this problem, which takes away glory from God, and I know nobody wants to do that, but this problem exists even in the body of Christ. The I am not worthy syndrome. The I am not worthy syndrome. It sounds so humble to say that. Well, I'm not worthy. But as I suggested to you 2 days ago, even though it sounds humble on the outside, it is actually a backhanded way of saying, one, you expect more of yourself than you, of all people, should be able to do better. You tisk yourself as though there were something in yourself that could produce. And secondly, that God wouldn't or couldn't call or favor anyone unless that person performed admirably and earned his nod of approval. When people say, I am not worthy, what they are tacitly admitting to and going back to is really the law of Moses. And nobody saying, I am not worthy, intends to be doing this. And yet, that's exactly what they are doing, because in the law of Moses, God's blessings were withheld until you performed properly according to the law set forth by God. This I am not worthy thing is a throwback to a bygone era, and because it is that, it is also a slap in the face to a God who is operating on a different principle now, namely the principle of grace. And I will say this, and I don't mean it to be an insult to anyone, but let this be a matter of contemplation. Anyone who says, I am not worthy, why me, does not yet understand the grace of God. Because this transcendent grace come to us through the Apostle Paul has nothing to do with us being worthy, with us performing. In fact, it is exactly the opposite, and I'm going to show you that in a passage from Galatians chapter 1 with our favorite poster boy for the grace of God, the Apostle Paul. I will preempt that verse by saying this: how worthy was Saul when Christ called him? And yet, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul calls himself the pattern of those about to be believing. The pattern. So naturally, I encourage everyone to fit the pattern. But in fact, everyone does fit the pattern. Paul says, doesn't say that God would potentially make me the pattern. No, he says, I am the pattern. If Paul's the pattern, 1 Timothy chapter 1, I'll put the verse up here. Then everyone of the body of Christ who comes after him, he was the first member of the body of Christ, will be called according to a similar principle. Maybe not line by line the same way. You may not be on your way to Damascus. You may not have it in your heart to kill Christians, but nevertheless, you have some other nasties that under the law of Moses would preclude you from blessings. Saul, while he was the Pharisee, thought he was doing everything the law of Moses called for. But what was missing? His heart. What was missing? Yeah. His heart behind it. He was obeying the letter, but not the spirit. And the spirit is the most important thing. And he learned that. And I don't remember hearing him say, did you? No? Anybody? Is it just me? Like, on the road to Damascus when he's laying face down in the dirt, blinded. I'm not worthy. It was too overwhelming. Ephesians chapter 1. I referenced this verse yesterday. I'm going to start with verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, through the will of God, to all the saints who are also believers in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace. And what I'm going to tell you right now will give you great peace. What did I tell that girl in Evansville who said, I don't know why God would pick me. I'm just so unworthy. I said, get over yourself. That's what I said to her. Get over yourself. I said it very lovingly. I said it very kindly. I didn't want to waste time. I wanted her to get right to it as far as admiring God and Christ for what they did for her and stop looking at herself. Because saying that you're not worthy, again, it's a backhanded form of looking at yourself, backhanded form of petting yourself, backhanded form of expecting so much of yourself, a backhanded form of worshiping yourself. Back door. It's a backdoor way of saying that yourself should be able to do more, and why would God even choose you unless you were a wonderful person? That's not our message today. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, sounds like it's starting with an emphasis on the giver of the grace. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ, according as he chooses us in him before the disruption of the world. What did you put into practice, either good or evil, before the disruption of the world? Nothing. This is a parallel truth to Romans chapter 9, when God said, Jacob I love, Esau I hate, and he's very careful to say, through Paul, who's inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it was before either one, Jacob or Esau, could put anything into practice, whether good or evil. So this call of grace has nothing to do with anybody putting anything into practice. So get your eyes off yourself. You are irrelevant in this thing, except that you're the beneficiary of the blessing. And as I'm about to read, this has to do with the delight of God. Does it chooses us in him before the disruption of the world, we to be holy and flawless in his sight, in love, designating us beforehand for the place of a son for him through Christ Jesus in accord with the delight of his will. That's the word I want to emphasize here, the delight of his will. God's will was to choose you, and it delights him to choose you. And I'm going to go to a passage now in Galatians that shows that it delighted God to choose Paul. I'll just go there and then I'll comment. The emphasis in all of this is not whether you feel worthy or not. And it's like, when did you get the newsflash that you weren't worthy? Why are you surprised? Those of you who would say, I'm not worthy. Really? Wow, that's news to me. I thought you were worthy. I could have sworn, watching your life, looking at your history, I could have sworn that you were worthy. Wow. Thanks for the elucidation. I didn't know. I'm being facetious, of course, because, yeah, of course you're not worthy. It's not a newsflash. Maybe it is to you. I'm not worthy. It's really? Wow. What a revelation. Of course not. Of course you're not worthy. We only become worthy after we're called, and that by the indwelling power of God. But this is what I'm hearing. When I'm hearing this phrase, I'm not worthy, it comes from people who are saying it in relation to their calling. It's not like they're not worthy now, post-calling. No, they can't understand why they were even called at all because of what kind of person they are. Totally missed the memo that there's not one righteous, no, not one. Totally missed the memo that this is a message of the transcendent grace of God, and totally missed the demonstration that the poster boy of this truth, of this reality, is the Apostle Paul, who was, if you want to look at it, the most unworthy person to receive the blessings that he received. Now, Paul says in Galatians 1, now, when it delights God, I could stop right there, but I have to go on to give you the context. But there's the word, same word that's in Ephesians, in accord with the delight of his will. That's a general truth, but now we're getting a specific truth about one person who happens to be the poster boy for the grace of God. When it delights God, who severs me from my mother's womb and calls me through his grace to unveil his son in me, that I may be evangelizing him among the nations. I'll stop there. That's all I need for now. Same word, delights, who severs me from my mother's womb. Wait a minute. Severs Paul, has his eye on Paul, has a plan for Paul from his mother's womb, which means his career in the Pharisaic world, even his career as an arrogant SOB. This was God delighting. Why? Why it would just be a delight of God to see this man grow up to be an arrogant SOB religious nincompoop. Why? Because God knows what he's going to do with him. God knows that he needs someone who is wretched, who is evil, who is just against God and against his son, so that he can now lavish this person with grace and make him his spokesperson for grace. And again, the best spokesperson for grace is one who's completely not worthy for it. Because grace is favor, the definition of grace, favor shown to one who deserves the opposite. No one deserved the opposite of grace more than this guy. And this guy said he became the pattern. Therefore, why are you fighting the pattern? Don't fight the pattern. But you're fighting the pattern when you say, I'm not worthy. Wow, you're fighting the pattern. It delighted God to sever him from his mother's womb and call him. There's the same word again. Calls us, Ephesians 1, in accord with his delight. Designates us beforehand. And we know from Romans, is it chapter 8? Those he designates, or is it chapter 10? Always get those mixed up. Those he designates beforehand, these he calls also. And he designated us before we could put anything into practice, whether good or evil. So God severed him from his mother's womb, calls him through his grace to unveil his son in me. Unveil his son in me. Shocking point. I'll stop there. Unveil the son of God. The one through whom all creation returns to God. The one who went to the cross. The most epic being. Doing his father's will, bringing everything in subjection. God is unveiling that son in Paul. Unveiling him in Paul. I mean, I can see, honestly, okay, I'll give you a break. I can see where you would say, how could I possibly be worthy to have the son unveiled in me? I know who I am, of course. Well, I hope so. I hope you know who you are. But I don't want you to see yourself anymore as this unworthy person. I want to see yourself as someone God delights in. He delights to unveil his son in you and in me and in our brother Paul, because it is so evident in such a case that it is God's power, that it is God's righteousness that is given to us, that there's no chance ever that it could be our righteousness. No wonder it delights God, because this puts the spotlight on His ability, and His ability can only shine forth against the black backdrop of our disability.